Welcome.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. This is Amy Rupert with the Integraship Group. We're here today talking to Karen Alber about leading with courage. Karen, can you tell us a little bit about your background in relative to leadership?
Sure. First of all, I'm currently self-employed. I recently retired from being a chief information officer with MillerCoors, and prior to that, I was with companies like H.J. Hines and PepsiCo. I'm certainly spending my time now kind of helping others with leadership issues, et cetera, on a retired kind of self-employed basis.
And in full disclosure, we're happy to have Karen on board here at the Integraship Group as well, who will be working with us and working with leaders in the future. Karen, in your most recent role as CIO of MillerCoors and previous to that, CIO at H.J. Hines, how many people were under you in those roles approximately?
Oh, it varied depending on time and role, but, you know, I've had teams over the course of my career that ranged from 5 to 300 or 400, but in my roles as chief information officer, I had probably 200 or 300 direct employees that were under my accountability, and then we also had like partner companies and contract employees, so it could range to teams of up to 400 or 500.
That's a lot of people, and that's a lot of leading that needs to be done. How long have you been in leadership roles in your career?
Well, when I think about it, I've actually been in a leadership role since I graduated from school, and it wasn't really by design, but I started out of college as a production supervisor, supervising production on the shop floor. I was actually in charge of the production of like Captain Crunch cereal and Life cereal earlier in my career, so I had a team of 15 or 20 people as a production supervisor. So I guess I've been pretty much leading teams of big or small most of my career.
Okay. So I'm sure you've run across many, many situations over the years in those roles where there's what I kind of refer to as messy people dynamics, right? You know, where there's various power struggles or contentious politics and all sorts of things. Would you say you've had your fair share of that?
Oh, yes. I'm not sure we have enough time on this call to chat about, but obviously whenever you're dealing with people in any role, right? I mean, people dynamics are a big part of all of what we do in the workplace, right? So, and certainly with different roles and more people, lots of different people situations and a fair amount of contentious, you know, interactions, et cetera, that have needed to be dealt with in one way or another.
Well, there isn't a leader around, whether they've led one person or 1,000 people, who haven't faced situations where they really had to pull on it, what I call courage, right, to be able to speak up or to say what needs to be said or have those kind of conversations, you know, that we all dread a little bit, but those conversations have to happen. When I say to you, when I use the term leading with courage, what comes to mind for you?
I'd say probably the biggest thing that comes to mind is not being intimidated by people around you. So that could be either people with bigger titles, more experience, in my case at 5 foot, people taller than me. But, you know, just kind of in total, not letting people get to you. And I know that's a little bit of a trick in business that people kind of say is don't let it get to you, not to get emotion, you know, let the emotion in. But being comfortable in your own skin, and certainly I think that takes building up the experience. I'm sure I'm probably more comfortable in my own skin and my years as a CIO than those days when I was a young supervisor on the shop floor with employees that had many, many more years of experience, right? So talk about intimidation. But I think that is trying to learn how to not be intimidated and build up that confidence so that you're they're not, and you can just operate by what you think is right and the right way to treat people.
Hmm. Great. So, there's a lot of information out there about leadership and leadership, how to develop yourself as a leader, and millions of books, programs, all sorts of things, which all spell out a lot of conventional wisdom, right, that many leaders follow in their roles. Is there any popular conventional wisdom that you've come across about leadership that you feel is just plain wrong?
I don't know about just plain wrong, but I'll tell you a few from that I've seen, and probably one that's kind of a personal one for me that I've just never seen working in the workplace. It might work in sports and in different environments, but I kind of call it locker room type leadership, right? I've just never seen, again, in the workplace, that yelling or putting people down to get them riled up is an effective means of getting discretionary energy out of people. Again, it might work on the football field and in different places, but I just think in the general workplace, when is the last time that you left work, or you know somebody that left work, when they had been belittled and you know, kind of made to feel embarrassed or put down, and that same person went home and you want to do extra work for that person, right? I mean, I know that when I would be belittled or embarrassed, but you know, by a boss in a big meeting or whatever, the last thing I'd want to do when I got off work or the next day would be to put in extra effort, right? So I just think there's ways of rallying people and inspiring them without kind of using the big tough yelling and putting people down to make them fight harder. A personal perspective, right? I mean, I'm sure for other people, but that's just my own perspective. I don't think it works.
Yeah. Leaders face a lot of situations, though, where, you know, tough decisions need to be made. And sometimes the leader themselves needs to get kind of tough. People aren't following through or being held accountable or whatever. So what's the distinction for you between being locker room tough and, you know, making these tough decisions and maybe having some of these tough conversations?
Yeah, it's a great question. I do think, and I realize it's a balance, and I know it just sounds like consulting kind of words, but I do think there is the possibility of being tough, but also being civil and being compassionate, right? And again, I think that's learned over time. We all probably have our experiences where, you know, we might have lost a temper or said something, but I think in general, it is absolutely possible to set clear expectations, make sure that people understand what you're going to hold them accountable for, ask them to do things that, you know, might be hard or above and beyond, and get them to want to do that without having to be the bully and the tough guy to get that. In fact, I think you get more discretionary energy out of people by treating them with respect and how they would want to be treated. And I think that just goes better over time. But it's a knack, right? I think that just I think that takes learning it over time.
It almost sounds, as you're talking, like it's kind of a muscle you've developed, like a weightlifter develops specific muscles over time. Would you say that's a fair analogy?
Yeah, I think it's a great analogy. And as you were saying it, I was thinking there maybe could be like personal training gyms that you could go to kind of develop this skill, right? Because we certainly all spend a lot of time in gyms, but it is a great correlation, because I think there is a muscle or a fitness, and I would say personally I've learned the hard way, right? I've had some tough discussions that I've learned from for the next time, so I built that capability over time. I also think that building up your own reserve, and this does get to that fitness thing, right? I think the more personally fit you are with financial reserves and a good support network and mentors and coaches you can go to just all help to build up that confidence as a leader, and hence build up that tough conversation muscle, right? So if you were in a gym, those would be the stations you'd need to go through. Is you have financial reserves, you're not nervous about your job every day. Do you have a good support network of people that you can go talk to? Do you utilize mentors and that you can kind of have run things by? You know, can you tap a coach to go dry run and kind of rehearse things, right? So I think that all of those are things that help build up that tough conversation muscle.
That's great. So if you looked around you throughout your career, you've obviously seen some leaders who have had epic failures or, you know, have failed over time to be good leaders, you know, and effective leaders. What would you say is the top reason most people fail to succeed in leadership?
Yeah, there's a lot of those reasons. I call it derailing behaviors, right? So there's a lot of reasons leaders, you know, we call it derail. But certainly one of the prominent ones I've seen, and it may be behind a lot of those derailers, is integrity and interpersonal relationships, right? Again, people need to want to work for their leader, not just due to their title, right? So I think if you lead from a place of leading for the wrong reasons or leading from a place of title or hierarchy, you're going to struggle in interpersonal relationships. You're going to struggle in earning that respect. So, again, it's an opinion of one, but I think just having that baseline authenticity and integrity in how you lead is really important. And if that's not in place, I think you'll derail as a leader over time. People will see it.
Mm-hmm. Who's your leadership role model?
I've had a few. I don't want to name names to protect the innocent, even though it would be a compliment. But I would say a senior executive from a company I worked for, kind of in the middle of my career. He was just incredible. I mean, extremely high. He led the whole organization, right? So, but extremely high integrity, very human, right? He kept things simple. He used humor, and for all of those reasons, you could sit there and say, boy, this guy's got the weight of the world on his shoulders, the whole organization's depending on him, and he can, in front of a group, you know, make a little bit of fun of himself. He wasn't about himself or his ego, and quite frankly, it made you want to work for him, right? I think people respected that, and he was just so authentic and such a real person that people wanted to work and wanted to succeed, and I learned a lot from that. I think back to the examples, and every once in a while, I think back, if I'm in a situation at work, I say, you know, how would he have handled this, or how would he have done this? So I think it's great to have some of those role models.
Why do you think we don't see more leaders like that in organizations?
I think leadership has waned over time. I think the pressure to succeed and the amount of change going on in industry is just certainly, I think it's just allowed people to deviate a little bit from what's really important. And I'd say also, to be honest, it gets rewarded, right? So because results get rewarded, I think it varies by organization, but then, you know, the leading as a role model with those right things of integrity and authenticity and humor and treating people civilly, I think it's waned a little bit, quite frankly, because I think the measurement structure rewards results maybe a little bit over those things.
Yeah, so what's kept you in check, you know, being civil when the pressure's on, when the heat's on as a senior leader?
That's tough. Boy, I can replay the tape in my head when the pressure was on, right? So I guess I would say my values. I have a few things I always wanted to leave as a legacy, and one of them was always to have made a difference for people, and I value treating others as I'd want to be treated, right? So I believe that you can be tough and be civil, and believe me, I'm not saying that I've never, you know, had my mistakes or whatever, but when the pressure's on. But I think what really has grounded me either to not get sucked up into the ugliness, or maybe even make some decisions to get out, would be my value system, right? And and I think that, you know, that it's a little bit of how you're raised. So I'll give my parents credit on kind of getting those things set in when I was younger. But then again, some key leaders that I was around when I was earlier as a leader that led from a place of civility, and I think that that's just helped over time to not get sucked into it when the stakes are really high.
So one of the reasons, you know, I'm here talking to you today, and of course one of the reasons we were so honored to have you on board at the Integraship Group is that many people feel you've modeled leading, you know, with what we call quiet determination. So how have you gotten to where you got to as CIO of two large and well-recognized organizations without being a shameless promoter?
Well, let me just clarify for those that might listen to this. I'm not sure quiet and Karen would have ever been put in the same sentence. So let's be maybe clear on the quiet determination. But I get the question, right? I think that's fair, and thank you. Because, boy, I'll first say I have worked with pure self-promoters, right? And I really struggle with that. And my definition of self-promoter is that people, you know, personally really make sure that, you know, their work is profiled and that they go out of their way to make sure that people see what they've done and, you know, maybe at the expense of others, and they're really into optics. So, yeah, that's just not my, I mean, I've always believed me, I've been recognized, but I've always just had a value that when you do good work, you get recognized for it, right? And you don't need to kind of go do it yourself to promote it, right? So it's also been important to me as a leader that my team get the recognition, right? Not just, you know, me as the individual. And that's hard because sometimes when you lead an organization, you do get recognized for the work of your organization. But as a result, I've kind of shied away from numerous kind of individual awards. It's just not a style I live by. And I've seen some people that do it. To be honest, it doesn't really gain the respect of people around them to be a self-promoter. So it's just not a style that I've thought. I think I've been recognized well for my own work, and I think if you do good work, people recognize it.
Do you think it's ever cost you in your career that you weren't big on self-promoting?
I don't think so. No, but, you know, let's be clear. I think when you have performance reviews and other things, I think it's an appropriate time to make sure that people know. So there's a right place and a right time to make sure that people know the type of work that you've done. But the kind of, I think what we're talking about in self-promoting is the purposeful, out-of-cycle, almost unnatural means of, you know, making sure people see, you know, how good you are, right? So I don't think it's hurt. I think that the best thing to help move your career along is deliver good results and treat people well along the way, right? And I think that in itself gets rewarded. It might get rewarded a little bit differently at different companies, and it might get rewarded a little bit different of a time cycle, but again, personal belief, maybe other people believe differently, but for me, I just think it's something that's it's been important to me to lead like that.
So I'm sure that you've come across situations throughout your career where you've come across something that you just felt was just plain wrong and out of integrity, and you had to speak up, you know, and say something, but there's a chance it might cost you your job or cost you considerably in political capital as a senior leader. Can you describe the personal struggle you've had within yourself in that process?
Well, I'm not sure I've ever really thought I would get fired that day for saying something or whatever. So to kind of point out something that was handled wrong or whatever. So I don't know. But I can say that you certainly know the stakes and the risk that you take in either how you're viewed or, you know, longer term career issues, et cetera. So that's always on your mind, and I can recall a number of times where I really did feel like I needed to speak out from a point of reason and from a point of integrity. It's not easy, but I would say I made sure that I had walked through the discussion in my head, that I had walked through the discussion with somebody else to make sure that I wasn't, you know, taking the emotion too far or that I wasn't misreading the situation. And in those cases, once I really had walked through it, you know, I would almost kind of call it like rehearsed in my head or rehearsed with others, then, you know, it kind of gave me a sense of calm to actually then have the difficult conversation. But there is, back to that conversation muscle, Amy, that you mentioned earlier, I think if you've spent time having that over the course of your career and you build up those reserves and you build up the times when you actually have to bring up something tough or mention something tough or speak up, I got to tell you, it gets easier, because I have just felt like there's nothing more important to me, nothing more important to me than my own personal integrity, right? So that just kind of guided me when I really would have to say, boy, I can't do that, or I'm struggling with being asked to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's helped.
Yeah, so, okay, relative to that, you know, these dialogues go on inside, but how do you know when you're kidding yourself or maybe not being honest with yourself as a leader?
I'm trying to think through this one. I'm not sure there's a leader out there that at some point has had to be somebody they are not or feel as if they're having to be. I mean, I know myself, I could point out times where I know I was starting to have to be somebody different than I really felt, either to get through a situation or whatever. The trick is to not have that be enough that your values change or that you really change who you are over time, right? Like I said, there have certainly been times when I have felt like that, right? But when the environment is requiring you to become somebody that is requiring that day in and day out, or that is not aligned with your values day in and day out, that's when I've then had to do my own self-assessment and say, boy, what am I doing, right? I made an assessment to say, this is just starting to feel like more and more I'm having to become somebody that I don't like or I don't want to be over time. And in that case, I've assessed my values pretty hard and made decisions to move on from an organization if I didn't see. An organization could be not just an overall company, but it could be within a company or within a department or within a certain team, right? If I just didn't see that the fit was aligned with my values or what I was being required to do.
Hmm. Yeah, so getting back to that internal struggle that a lot of leaders face, how have you navigated that internal struggle when you've had to make really tough decisions that may not be fair to individuals, but it's good for, you know, the organization?
I think the problem is that fairness needs to be, you know, when you're in a big leadership role, right, you asked me how many people are on my teams and how big of an organization, I think fairness needs to be defined at a macro level, right, as it may not be, it may be fair overall, but there may be specific areas or specific individuals that are impacted, right? And I remember an example, we made a big change to a big business process that would help the company overall, was going to save a lot of jobs. But for a few people, a lot of their work needed to change and some things were no longer done as they were before, right? So for the masses, it was a good thing. But for those that needed to change, it seemed not fair, right? So I think when you look at fairness, you have to kind of look at how can you best manage it overall and do the best thing for the overall organization, and then treat those impacted with as much compassion and, you know, and recognize that it's changed along the way as you go through it. But it's probably pretty hard to say that every single individual or every single part of an organization is going to be happy all the time, every time you make decisions. That's a tough bar.
Mm-hmm. You talked a while ago, a few minutes ago, about being compassionate, being tough yet compassionate. We've all seen leaders act, you know, without a shred of compassion. and or very little of it. And we know what that looks like. Do you think leaders can ever be too compassionate? And if yes, what's the fallout from that?
I'm sure there are scenarios where that's possible. I mean, I guess too compassionate, with air quotes around that, would be kind of in the eyes of a beholder, right? As some leaders see being compassionate at all as a sign of being weak or too nice, or I think the hard part is the scale varies by who's looking at it, right? I remember one partner organization I was with, we were looking at a more flexible working schedule as a means of kind of improving employee engagement. And boy, for some, incredibly compassionate thought process. And for others, you would have thought that was like, for other leaders to have that kind of, you would think they're taking off their left arm because it sounded so contrary to working hard and the stereotype of hours in the office as to how to grade people, et cetera. So unfortunately, I think compassion can also be in the eyes of the beholder, and that's what makes it tricky.
So I'm just going to ask you this to talk a little bit about this, because I think this is important and this will help a lot of leaders who are emerging today, you know, just stepping onto the leadership field. If the leader you are today could give some advice to the emerging leader you were, say, 20, 25 years ago, what would you say?
I would say, don't feel that you have to become someone different than you are, and be as authentic as possible in all you do. So if you're real and if you're authentic and you let people see who you are as a human, I think it goes a long way in being able to lead through tough situations, et cetera. So my summary statement would be authentic.
Some have said, you know, being authentic can be a fault of a leader, because if you show too much, you'll get eaten alive, right? And there's times where leaders, you know, are facing their own personal situations, say somebody's sick at home or something's going on for the leader, but yet, you know, they've got to come in and put their head down, get the job done, and lead others through it. How do you balance that between being authentic, having your own situations, right, and then having to show up and lead? It seems like a juggling act.
It is. It's a tough balance, right? I mean, now remember, I'm not saying be authentic and come home and come to work and talk about your personal life for, you know, 90% of the day, right? But so I think it's, as with anything, I think it's in balance, right? But if you don't show people at all that you have anything remotely in common, or, you know, situations that they're going through, I think it's going to be hard to earn their respect over time. So it's back to kind of what we started off the discussion with, is the balance between being tough and being able to be compassionate, right? And I think as emerging leaders, if it's just something to continue to work on, is learn that knack of how can you make sure people respect you, that you're have high expectations, you know, hold them accountable, expect them to deliver, and treat them as, you know, humans and as civilly as possible along the way. And I think that delivers good results.
That's great. Well, we want to thank you, Karen, for this interview today. I'm sure there will be a lot of leaders out there who are just all ears listening to your answers to these kind of tough questions. So thanks for hanging in there with me, and thanks for showing up today as a truly authentic leader who leads with courage. Thanks.
Well, thank you for having me. Thank you.